Something else. So, my first point today, if I turn on my pointer, my pointy clicky thing, which is its technical term, it was a spiritual event. So, you've got a bunch load of shepherds, people that are a little bit on the smelly side. They could have been out there for 4 months at that time, and 4 months nowhere near a bath. These were people that when they came back into town after the season of taking the sheep out into the hills, people sort of pulled the shutters to. They kept away from them until they'd had ritual cleansing, because it wasn't a very pleasant odour that they transmitted. And yet, they are the people that receive the invitation to come and see Jesus. Don't you think that's interesting? That Jesus didn't, that the angel didn't invite people who were rich and had great ointments that they could pour on themselves to anoint their bodies and make them wonderfully smelly, but the natural odour of a few shepherds. You could say maybe that's what drew the angels to them. They said, oh, what's that? Oh, we'll make the announcement here. But I would suggest to you, the shepherds were the people who were invited, because God wants us to understand that nobody is not invited. So an angel appears. An angel appears. What does an angel look like? Well, some people say they've got fluffy wings and halos. I've seen a few, but I've never seen one that looked like that. But there again, maybe they appear to me because I don't expect them to look like that. I don't know. But an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the angel of the Lord is a phrase that's long used in the Old Testament to mean sort of the head of heaven's armies. This was something that looked like a warrior. It was something that scared these shepherds witless. They were sore afraid, it said in the King James Version, which is an interesting phrase to think about, but we'll not go there today. But an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. So there's two things. There's the angel of the Lord there, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And what's the glory of the Lord other than the power of the presence of God, the magnificence of God's presence was scattered around that place? How powerful. What an amazing spiritual event. When I was 21, I think I was, when I was driving back from Brighouse to Goole in my first ever motor vehicle, in the thickest pea super of a fog that I have ever seen in my life, and all of a sudden, I had to stop on the motorway. I couldn't move the car at all. There was no way I could have moved the car. And all of a sudden, this guy in shorts and a t-shirt taps on the top of the roof of my car and runs in front of the vehicle. And I'm thinking, it's freezing fog out there. What person would possibly be out in shorts and a t-shirt tonight in thick fog? And then he started to walk. And I thought, well, if he's walking in front of me, I could at least move the car while I can just see him, because I will get somewhere. And slowly but surely, the man went from walking pace to 40 miles an hour. And I followed him back to Goole at 40 miles an hour, and just as we came on the edge of Goole, the fog cleared and he wasn't there. That was the first time I ever saw an angel. That was a very spiritual event. Because when you think about it, and I didn't think about it till afterwards, what man have you ever met who could run for 40 miles an hour? And who could run 40 miles an hour consistently for many, many, many miles? It was a real spiritual event, was that. I've had other events like that, like when Melody was born. And this 10-foot angel in golden chainmail appeared at the foot of Pauline's bed. And I said, Pauline, can you see this? And then Pauline went, ooh, and went into labour. And that was what set things off for her. And 2 and a bit hours later, Melody popped out. You know, I have had some really spiritual events. Some of them haven't involved angels. I remember one prayer meeting where we were praying together, and for 40 minutes, I was flat on the floor. Not a sound, not a noise was uttered in that room, because the presence of God was so heavy, I didn't feel I could get up. It felt that the holiness of God was in the room. It was an amazing spiritual event. And the reality is that if we are open to spiritual events, we can all encounter them. We can all have times where we meet with God. I often talk to the people in Amana House and say to them, you know, any of you can go back to your bedroom now and begin a long conversation with God that will last the rest of your life. The reality is we can all encounter spiritual events. The fact that this is a great angel who's then suddenly surrounded with a host of angels, and you think, wow, you know, these shepherds can say they were there when that happened. They can say, oh, well, I was there when the angel appeared. You can imagine the social status going up and their heads rising higher. But the fact is, we can all have a spiritual event. If, of course, we say, well, I don't agree in spiritual events. I don't believe in spiritual events. I think it's all poppycock. It's all problems of the mind. I would rather refer someone to a psychiatrist who's seen something like this. You know, the reality is that spiritual events happen. When my Melody was training, and she had to do a section in a mental illness, we had a talk about this, and I said, what do they tell you to do if people hear a voice from God? And Melody said, well, that's allowed for in the medical world. It's allowed for. You can hear God. And I thought, well, that's amazing. Even medics agree that you can hear God. But if you flatly refuse to hear God, it becomes very difficult for you to have a spiritual encounter. Can I suggest to you one of the greatest things you could do this Christmas would be to say to God, God, I'd really like to hear from you this Christmas. I'd really like to meet you this Christmas. I would really like to encounter you. And whether that's by angelic visitor, whether it's by someone reading a scripture to you that comes alive in your spirit, whether it's by something that's happening and you feel something but you can't see anything, all I'm saying to you is spiritual events happen. And one certainly happened that day. When I was 8 years old, I heard the good news that Jesus died for me. And we sang a hymn at the end of the service in which I had to go out to the counselling room at the back of the church. That's what the pastor said. And the hymn was, I remember when my burdens rolled away. And you know, that night, I felt my guilt roll off me. I was 8 years old. Somebody said to me, that's ridiculous, you're only 8 years old, how guilty were you? You have no idea how guilty I was. But I felt it leave me that day. That was a spiritual event. We can all have spiritual events where we meet with God and we receive from him. I just want to say to you today, don't miss out on the spiritual. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians. He says, brothers, sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant about the spiritual. In most of our Bibles, the word gifts is inserted. But actually, it's not there in the Greek. It's just the spiritual. Paul does not want us to be ignorant about the spiritual. Just because I can reach out and touch people that are physically there, and I can hear what they say and I can see them, it doesn't make them any more or any less real than the spiritual realm where God is. And I thank God right now that I know he's real. I know the tomb is empty because I know my heart is full. The message that the angels gave was for ordinary people. The good news about the Messiah's birth was for shepherds, it was for people who work for the council, it was for people that teach, for people that nurse, for people that don't work, for people that are just kind people. It was even for people who are not so kind. This message was for ordinary people. And again in 1 Corinthians, Paul puts it this way. He says, brothers, consider your calling. Not many of you were wise from a human perspective. So God doesn't call the extremely clever and leave the rest of us behind. Not many of you were of noble birth. God doesn't call people who are only born on the right side of the tracks, if you know what I mean. God doesn't exclude those of us that come from a less than illustrious line. God has chosen the world's foolish things to shame the wise. God has chosen the world's weak things to shame the strong. God has chosen the world's insignificant and despised things, the things viewed as nothing, so that he might bring to nothing the things that are viewed as something. Have you ever thought that you were insignificant? This tells me that God's calling is on your life. And you say, but I'm insignificant. Great, that qualifies you. God has called the insignificant. Thank God for that. I was the son of a man who died age 50 when I was 7. Left me alone with a mentally ill mother. We had nothing. I was brought up in abject poverty for a number of years. I was insignificant. But God met me in a little chapel in Clifton Gardens in Goole. And he called the insignificant. My mother used to say to me, why do you go to that stupid church? Why can't you be like a normal boy and go out to discos? And I said to her, mother, if you like, I could go out and make some girl pregnant. Would you be happy with that? She said to me, at least you'd be normal. God chose the despised things. I went through a time in my life when I was pretty well despised. Do you know, you might feel worthless, hopeless, helpless. That's because God's chosen you and wants you in his kingdom. You are exactly the caliber of person that God calls. The good news is for ordinary people. The good news is for all the people. God had a friend called Abraham. He loved Abraham. Took him outside one night and he said, "Can you see up there, Abraham?" And Abraham says, "All I can see are stars." And God says to him, "See if you can count them, Abraham. Because you, who haven't got a child, are going to have so many descendants, you aren't going to be able to number them." And that was something that Abraham latched onto by faith. He heard God's voice and he believed it. Abraham could have been cynical. He could have had a relativistic view. He could have been a postmodern person. But he just simply experienced a supernatural moment and said yes to God. And of his descendants, which God always tried to be very close to, he wanted them to share the good news with all people. But they like to keep it to themselves. But when this angel appears to this bunch of shepherds, not only is the message that it's for ordinary people, the message is that it's for all people. You want to know about inclusion? Go talk to God, because God is the one who is inclusive. The message of the good news is for everybody. It's for people who come from nations with a Christian background and people who come from nations with a Muslim background. It doesn't matter what your background is. God wants to take you into his foreground and say, "Be my friend." And this is a message for all the people. I am so glad that the New Testament tells me that this means that this is an invitation to the Gentiles. Because I'm a Gentile. Everybody who isn't a Jew is a Gentile. And there's only about 16 million Jews in the world, which would make it pretty bad news for the rest of us if we weren't invited to the party. But God invites 7 billion people that are alive today to hear the good news about Jesus. And that is pretty good. A God that rejects nobody, but will accept all who will come to him. That is excellent. "Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Good news, everyone. You know that I always have a gif of Professor Farnsworth whenever I have a heading good news, because it's what he's famous for saying on the Futurama show. And those of you who are looking blank at me, I am very sorry. It's sort of like The Simpsons. "I proclaim to you good news of great joy." The Bible tells us that it all went horribly wrong. God didn't make the world like this. This is not God's plan. Thank you. Now, I was struggling with the right word there, but you gave me it. This is not God's plan. God made everything perfect. People say, "Well, what sort of a God would have made a world where we all fought each other and there was not enough food in some places and there was far too much in others?" God didn't make it like that. We made it like that. That's right. The good news is you are invited to rebuild your relationship with God. In the beginning, mankind turned their back on God. We disobeyed God. We rebelled. We just ignored him. He only gave us one rule, and we couldn't keep that. But the good news for everyone is that something's happened. A divine intervention. It took place in Bethlehem around about 2,000 years ago. 2 millennia. Something divine happened. A spiritual moment took place where God, the Spirit, became flesh. We have a word for that. Incarnation. God took on flesh and bone. God became like us, except without the rebellion stuff, without the sin, without the issues of life. But he had to face growing up. He had to be breastfed. He had to have his diaper cleaned. They had sort of diapers in those days. Oh, am I turning American? Oh, Father, forgive me. He had his nappy changed. That ridiculous song we sing at Christmas, "No Crying He Makes." What ludicrous is that? Jesus cried. He was a baby. He had to learn how to operate this bundle of flesh that he had been born into, like we all do. He had to learn to walk. He had to do all of these things. And this was the good news. A divine intervention took place at Bethlehem. And the invitation to the shepherds was, come and see. Come and see. This is good news. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it's usually good news when a baby is born. I say usually. I think sometimes there are people that don't handle it very well. But, you know, I think it's great when babies are born. And my kids will tell you I go a bit goo-goo. When someone gives me a baby, I do this. And that's through years of doing it with my own, rocking from side to side. But babies are wonderful. But the good news is that this was even more than just the birth of a baby. Romans 5 verse 12 says, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death spread to all men because all sinned. So that's where all the trouble came from. How much more have the grace of God and the gift overflowed to the many by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ? One man messed it all up. God sent him his own son as a man to correct the mess. That's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. God hadn't given up on us. Instead, he became like us, so that he might know from being a man in the pains of our living what it was like to deal with the innate fear of death that most of us live with. My mother had a very strong issue with the fear of dying. And in fact, she was afraid of dying every day of her life until she died. Which is bizarre, isn't it? When she was so ill she was dying, she seemed to be no longer afraid of it. But she was morbidly terrified to the point at which she would often not leave the house because she was afraid something would happen and she would die. But then she was afraid if she stayed in the house, she would die. It was a no-win situation. But the Bible says this for all of us. Since the children, which is us, have flesh and blood in common, he also shared in these, so that through his death he might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. Jesus, that baby, born in the back of a house somewhere in Bethlehem, the area where they kept the cattle, that Jesus came to free us all from the fear of death. Do you know something? Dying isn't easy. Being born isn't easy. Entering this world and leaving it seemed to be quite difficult. But what I can tell you is, with Jesus in our lives, the journey through life becomes a joy. We used to sing an old song, Jesus is the joy of living. And I am revealing my age by saying that I remember, June can sing the words, bless her. But the fact is, Jesus actually gives you joy to live your life. Life becomes a joy with Jesus. This truly is good news to everyone. This is truly good news of great joy. Jesus is the joy of living. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. We plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the great good news of the gospel. We can all receive God's righteousness. What does righteousness mean? It doesn't mean moral perfection. Righteousness means right standing with God. It means we can stand in God's presence. And that is a free gift in Jesus. We have the right to enter the throne room and talk to the one sat on the throne. And he will talk back to us. What an amazing, amazing gift. Reconciliation. It's bringing the two sides together and building a bridge. That's what Jesus did for us. That's the significance of the baby. Because the angel does not say it's a boy. The angel does not say a baby has been born in Bethlehem. He says something very different. He says a saviour is born. Today, a saviour who is Messiah, the anointed one, the Lord, that's the title that's normally reserved for Caesar, a saviour, a Messiah, a Lord, he is born for you in the city of David. This is the good news. A saviour is born. What's a saviour? A saviour is someone who saves you, who keeps you safe, who makes you safe against the dangers you face. Sometimes we see movies where there's a lion and there's people walking through the jungle and they can't see the lion, but the lion can see them. And then all of a sudden, the lion pounces and out of the blue, someone appears with a shotgun and saves people. Well, this isn't about shooting lions. This is about saving us from the lion that stalks us, the devil, who wants to drag us down and ruin us and make us ineffective in our lives and cause us to be failures in the eyes of God. The Saviour is someone who saves us from all of that, and that is Jesus. You might say, what can I do to be safe from a spiritual person, the devil, who wants to drag me down? And the answer is, there's nothing really you could have done to help yourself. You needed a saviour. And all that you have to do is say, saviour, save me. Saviour, save me. And that's all that that guy did on the cross. You know, Jesus was crucified between two criminals. One of them says, hurled insults at him. But the other one said, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? And Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. That's the action of a saviour. Of course, when Jesus did die, a huge tear appeared in this enormous heavyweight curtain that existed in the temple in Jerusalem. This curtain took multiple men to carry it. It was incredibly heavy. And to have been torn from the top to the bottom was pretty nigh on impossible, because you couldn't get to the top. But the bottom was accessible, but it was torn from the top. When Jesus died, a rip took place in the temple. The thing that stopped you getting to the part of the temple where God was torn away. A rip has happened in space-time. Nothing can stop you going through to meet your Saviour, to meet God. Nothing can stop you except you. I just want to encourage you today. Today a Saviour, who is Messiah and Lord, has been born for you. Go see the Saviour. You might say, well, we can't go and see him. That was 2,000 years ago. Oh, yes, we can see him. We can see him by faith. You say, faith, what's that? It's nothing. It's like a whisper in the air. It's like a smoke that rises. Faith is a real substance, the Bible tells us. It's something tangible that allows you to get hold of God. If you choose to believe today, you can go and see the Saviour. And you know what? Life will never be the same again. Because the Saviour is born for us. Let's bow our heads together. The challenge to our faith today is, will you believe that a Saviour has been born? Only by being born could the Saviour die. Only by dying could he defeat death and bring eternal life to all who call on his name. God didn't get things in the wrong way round. He didn't cheat at his own game. He did it properly. Jesus describes it this way. He says, the thief comes in some other way. But the Saviour, the Good Shepherd, comes in through the gate. And that's what Jesus did. The gate of a virgin's womb. The gate that brought him into this world. This is our Saviour. This is our God. This is the baby. It's funny, the angel says, and there will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. The baby was the sign. The Saviour was who had been born. Those shepherds looked at that baby and they knew. They knew a Saviour was there. Father, we ask you today that we might all know this Saviour. We ask you that you would help us to recognise in the busyness of Christmas, in the commercialised world in which we live, that we must make time to talk to the Saviour. Help us, Lord, to make time to have a spiritual moment with you over Christmas. Help us, O Lord, to reach out and connect with you powerfully and wonderfully. May we all know the Christ of Christmas together this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.